Welcome to Herd Mentality, a podcast from StoneX where we discuss global dairy markets and what's driving them. It's important to remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. With me today is John Lancaster from our Dublin, Ireland office. There's been some rumblings that the European Commission was going to put anti-dumping tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles. And this week, the Commission did announce additional tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles. China has threatened or suggested that if European governments put additional tariffs on EV imports from China, that China may retaliate by putting tariffs on European agricultural goods, including dairy. John, do we know any more about the situation?
We don't know too much more yet. EU has announced officially that those tariffs are being implemented. And that will effectively be close to 20% and 40% tariffs on Chinese electrical vehicles coming into the EU. The different rates are depending on different companies. So companies that have cooperated with the EU probe into state subsidization of Chinese industry are on the lower end of the tariff rate, and companies that have not cooperated at all are at the higher end of that tariff rate. And this is on top of the current tariffs for Chinese vehicles of 10%. So it's for that the high end there is almost 50% tariff. And I suppose the interesting piece around this is, you know, from the point of view of European dairy, what comes next? There has been kind of a press release from Chinese state media on Twitter, or X, formerly called Twitter, that they were looking at potential counter tariffs on European dairy. Now, from what we've heard, that's only been communicated externally outside of China, and that hasn't been that kind of suggestion domestically yet. So that could be more of a political play to try and talk the European Commission down before any tariff implications are made. In the run-up to this, France has been kind of one of the opponents of these tariffs on Chinese vehicles, and French cognac imports into China have had additional tariffs put on them for anti-dumping measures as well. The thing with kind of tariffs and counter tariffs piece has always been countries looking for sensitivities in the other country. So when, you know, the US and the EU were kind of in a tit for tat with Airbus and Boeing and some tariffs and counter tariffs there, in response to that, the EU targeted products from congressional areas or Senate areas where prominent political figures sat. So Tennessee whiskey was targeted, and Harley Davidson motorcycles, etc. So overall, I would be somewhat surprised if China put a hard cap or a hard tariff across all dairy products. I think they'd be a lot more selective on individual products, depending on domestic needs and on also on, you know, the key matters. Europe exports a lot of infant formula to the US, to China, I should say. Almost, I think, your numbers, they put 70%, I think, IMF imports are coming from Europe.
Yeah, about 37% of Europe's infant formula exports go to China. And on the Chinese side, that accounts for about 71% of their imports. So the vast majority of China's infant formula imports are coming from Europe?
Yeah. So that would be one that would be a pretty obvious target, given the push domestically to push more domestic product and domestic producers. But with that piece also comes kind of risk around, and we saw around imports of also the raw ingredients to go into domestically producing for formula. So we saw the issue a number of years ago with Fonterra and the botulism scare there, which turned out to be a false alarm, but still had a significant impact there. And I think from a medium-term point of view, also kind of put that focus on too much reliance on individual regions. The skim milk powder and fluid milk would also seem to be a good target for them. But again, if that pushes more reliance onto New Zealand, is that something that they want to do from kind of a diversification of a supply point of view either? I suppose it is a piece of the question there. What do you think on that, mate?
I think on the fluid milk, it's hard to get good numbers, but roughly 80% of China's domestic milk production goes into liquid dairy products or yogurt type products. And with the oversupply of milk that they're dealing with inside of China, finding a way to restrict imports of liquid milk products is probably going to be beneficial to their domestic industry. So I don't know that additional tariffs on European liquid products would push them to buy more from New Zealand. It might allow them to find an outlet for more of their domestically produced milk. But I think on skim milk powder, only 22% of China's imports of skim milk powder came from Europe last year. And if they put a tariff on European product, they probably would buy more from New Zealand. I don't know that they're overly concerned about being dependent on New Zealand product short term. I think where the concerns about dependency might show up are on the whey products. 35 to 40% of China's whey and whey protein isolate imports are coming from Europe. The U.S. is the only other major supplier of those products. If they put an additional tariff on European whey products, it would push more buying towards the U.S. And I'm not sure they really want to do that. What do you think?
And the U.S. has put 100% tariffs on imports on their electric vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's interesting that they haven't really responded to that yet. Probably a piece around deciding who they want to trade war with in the short term.
Yeah. And in the past, thinking back to some of the trade wars, I guess is the best way to call it, that the U.S. has had with China, you could see that it's often technocrats that are selecting which particular items to hit. The way that we classify and collect data on international trade is with the HS codes, the harmonized tariff codes. So most of the dairy products fall under the category of 0-4, but there's some dairy lactose that shows up under the 1-7 codes. There's whey products that show up and casein and casein it under the 35 codes. And when the tariffs were initially announced by China against some U.S. product, they stayed in the 0-4 category where most of the dairy is, and they had left out some of those other codes. I don't think it was intentional to leave out other dairy products. I think it was just technocrats that didn't understand where all of the dairy products were classified that said, oh, 0-4 is dairy. We're going to put tariffs on dairy, so we're going to hit those 0-4 numbers. And then later on, they ended up adding some of those other codes as well. So the initial announcement, if there is an initial announcement from China of additional tariffs on European product, may be revised later to include or exclude particular products. It may just be a blanket categorization initially.
I suppose that on this as well, you know, there's been a lot of, this hasn't come out of nowhere. It's in building for a good period of time here in Europe. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Chinese tech plats have been preparing for this type of eventuality and maybe a little bit more nuanced as a kind of counter argument there.
So what happens to prices in these markets if China puts additional tariffs on European product? 15% on a milk equivalent basis of European exports go to China. That accounts for about 25% of imports on the Chinese side. If we see additional tariffs of 10 or 20%, what does that do to European dairy prices?
You could make an argument. I mean, each individual product has its own individual dynamics. IMF would be a big one, obviously with the scale and the volume. But you know, overall, you can make an argument around substitution. Like it probably doesn't have an overall impact on gross Chinese import demand. More so, just shifts who the supplier of that particular product is. And you get a level of, say, a period of disruption, and then supply line logistics kind of realign to send the product to different places. You look at New Zealand last year and less demand for China from Homer powder and realigning selling product there to different places. Yes, it had an impact, but the market managed to get through it as well. This wouldn't be lack of demand. This would be reshuffling the cards, so to speak. It'd be my kind of initial take on it anyway. What's your feeling?
Agreed. We've seen other issues. What was it, 2 years ago, Indonesia putting additional tariffs on European product. It just kind of shifts demand around. The trade wars between the US and China just shifted demand around. And if they're very specific with their targeted products, like if they go particularly heavy on French cheeses, those are probably high price specialty products where you're talking about relatively high income consumers, and an additional 10 or 20% on the retail price isn't really going to impact demand all that much.
Yeah, that's a good point as well.
Yeah. Well, with that, we'll continue to watch here and see if China responds. And if they do, we'll do more analysis and modeling around it. But the expectation is maybe some short-term pain as international trade reorders itself a little bit. But the long-term impact is probably not big on pricing. Thanks for your time today, John. The StoneX Dairy Team spans the US, EU, Asia, and Oceania, providing market intelligence, analysis, and forecasts through our interactive data platform called StoneX Plus, as well as full-service brokerage on the major dairy exchanges, the CME, EEX, and SGX. If you're interested in finding out more about our market intelligence or brokerage services, you can find more information on StoneX.com.
This communication is issued in the European Economic Area by StoneX Financial Europe SA, SFE by the SFE presenters noted. This communication is issued in the United States by FCM Division of StoneX Financial Inc., SFI, by the SFI presenters noted. And the material should be construed as the solicitation of trading strategies and / or services provided by SFI. StoneX is the trade name used by StoneX Group INC and all its associated entities and subsidiaries. StoneX Group Inc. companies provide financial services worldwide through its subsidiaries, including physical commodities, securities, exchange traded and over the counter, under derivatives, risk risk management, global payments, and foreign exchange products in accordance with applicable law in the jurisdictions where services are provided. References to certain over-the-counter ROTCA products or swaps are made on behalf of Stone X Markets, LLC SXM, a member of the National Futures Association NFA and provisionally registered with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission CFTC as a swap dealer. SXM products are designed only for individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ECPAT and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. Wealth management is offered through S.A. Stone Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA/SIPC, and S.A. Stone Investment Advisors, Inc., and SEC-registered investment advisor, both wholly owned subsidiaries of Stone X Group, Inc. Stone X Financial Limited SFL is registered in England and Wales, company No. 5,616,586. SFL is authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority Registration Number FRN 446,717 to provide to professional and eligible customers including arrangement, execution and, where required, clearing derivative transactions in exchange-traded futures and options. SFL is also authorized to engage in the arrangement and execution of transactions in certain OTC products, certain securities trading, precious metals trading and payment services to eligible customers. SFL is authorized regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority under the Payment Services Regulations 2017 for the provision of payment services. SFL is a Category 1 ring dealing member of the London Metal Exchange. In addition, SFL also engages in other physically delivered commodities business and other general business activities which are unregulated and not required to be authorized by the Financial Conduct Authority. Stone X Financial Europe SA. SFEED is a securities trading firm registered in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg under company No. RC Luxb 10821. SFE is authorized by the Luxembourg Ministry of Finance and regulated by the Commission de Surveillance du Secteur Financier Registration No. P000000012 to carry out, inter alia, the activities of investment advisor, portfolio manager, professional acting on own account, broker in financial instruments, and commission agent. Stone X Financial T. Limited Co. Reg. No. 201,130,598 RSFP holds a capital market services license and is regulated by Monetary Authority of Singapore Massive for dealing in exchange-traded derivatives contracts, OTC derivatives contracts and spot foreign exchange contracts for the purposes of leveraged foreign exchange trading. Stone X Financial HK Limited C. No. BCQ 152-SHK is regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission for dealing in futures contracts. Stone X Group Inc. acts as agent for SFL in New York with respect to its payment services business. Stone X Financial T. Limited acts as agent for SFL in Singapore with respect to its payment services business. Trading swaps and over-the-counter derivatives, exchange-traded derivatives and options and securities involve substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors. These materials represent the opinions and viewpoints of the author and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints and trading strategies employed by the FCM division of SFI or SXM. These materials represent the opinions and viewpoints of the author and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints and trading strategies employed by the FCM division of SFI or SXM. The information herein is not a recommendation to trade nor investment research or an offer to buy or sell any derivative or security. It does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs and does not create a binding obligation on any of the Stone X Group Inc. of companies to enter into any transaction with you. You are advised to perform an independent investigation of any transaction to determine whether any transaction is suitable for you. SFP may distribute analysis/report produced by its respective foreign affiliates within the Stone X Group of companies pursuant to an arrangement under Regulation 32C of the Financial Advisors Regulations. The analysis/report is only permitted to be distributed in Singapore to a person who is an accredited investor, expert investor, or an institutional investor as defined under Section 4A of the Securities Futures Act Singapore. Recipients should contact SFP at 656309-1000 for any matters arising from, or in connection with, the analysis or report distributed. No part of this material may be copied, photocopied or duplicated in any form by any means or redistributed without the prior written consent of Stone X Group Inc. Copyright 2024 Stone X Group Inc. All rights reserved.